This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is a former member of Congress, a former chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, and a co-author of the 2018 Farm Bill, the third longest farm bill in history, the Honorable Mike Conaway. He joins us in just a moment. You know, we've got a budget issue, a debt problem in D.C. Easy options are gone, says David Schweik.
Part of what I'm doing, the reason I'm doing this, is I'm also trying to make the moral argument of doing the really hard thing in reconciliation. The really hard thing is also the best economics. If you give a darn about your retirement, my 2.5-year-old boy's economic future, the country, you got to do the hard thing.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Mike Conaway. He represented the 11th Congressional District for, I think it was 16 years, started in 2005 and hung up his cleats in 2021, and is a former chairman of the House Agriculture Committee. Mr. Chairman, always great to see you.
Tony, great to be with you again one more time. I can't believe you put up with me, but thank you for letting me back on your show. I appreciate that.
You know, I want to start with this, and I talked about hanging up your cleats. Some might not know that you had a pretty illustrious career in football, and it started really at the high school level. We see and hear about Friday Night Lights. You actually lived Friday Night Lights, Odessa Permian, right?
Well, it was the certainly the school. I played on the first state championship team back in 1965. That was that era, Tony, where we had just come out of leather helmets and put on plastic ones with a face mask. But the actual Friday Night Lights season was 1988. My older son was playing for Midland High at that year, and I was junior. And that was the year they had only two teams got to go to the playoffs, and Midland High, Middle Lee, and Permian all beat each other and wound up with 9-1 records, and the Midland High team lost a coin flip and had the best record in the state to not get to go to the playoffs. But yeah, Permian, that long, almost 30-year run that Permian helped dominate high school football in Texas began in 65 with our state championship team, and then ran through somewhere in the mid-90s, where generally the second loss of the season was always in the playoffs.
Well, and I wanted to bring that in because there are so many ways we can tie football and sports to what happens in Washington, D.C. And getting everybody playing from the same playbook can probably be a challenge from time to time. When you look back at your time in Congress, how do you remember that?
Well, I miss it. I miss certain parts of it. I miss the camaraderie. I miss the responsibility. I miss being at the center of a storm. And then from time to time, it was a pretty large storm going on. So I miss those parts. You know, I served in that time, but before the folks who dominate social media, dominate other forms of media, began to get a lot more coverage than they necessarily do. They don't appear to be particularly interested in legislating. They like being on camera. They like being social media darlings and those kinds of things. And that's fine. If their voters continue to send them back because of that notoriety, then I don't think the system is helped by it, but it's our system. You trust the voters in each congressional district to send the person or people that they want to represent them, if that's what they think is in their best interest, to have their representative be kind of on the sidelines of actually getting things done, but on TV a lot and on social media a lot, then that's fine. So that really started toward the end of my service, and I don't miss serving in those circumstances, but it was the best job I ever had. It was terrific responsibility. You got to help people. Back in the district, I was blessed to be able to put together a district staff that every single day went to work on behalf of the constituents. And if you had a problem with Social Security or IRS or VA, whatever, and couldn't get the proper kind of help from the executive branch agency, my team could go to work on your behalf to help get you through those issues. And then in D.C., I was also blessed to have an incredible staff there to do the legislative work and help guide me through the various steps that I took in order to get to become chairman of House Ag, and the work I got to do on Intelligence Committee, the Armed Services Committee. So I had a great experience, and it wouldn't take for the 16 years I got to serve the good people of District 11 here in Texas.
Well, and you were a co-author of a 2018 Farm Bill, which, even though you're not there, is still in place. And I got to thinking, this could be one of the longest farm bills, life expectancies of a farm bill ever. But no, 1938, that one went 10 years, and then one in 1956 went 9 years. But the 2018 Farm Bill, another extension there, simply because we can't quite get everything together. That's not for lack of trying. The House Ag Committee passed a farm bill, but couldn't get it to go anywhere. For those who are frustrated by, I guess, a lack of movement, if you will, how do you help them understand how D.C. works?
Well, part of it is, I would like to say, for the, let's call it the modern era. It's been the longest running one. Those other two you talked about, those of you were not even alive, but, part of it is you've got to manage expectations. And I know that's frustrating to people, but you've got 235 House members. And if you're going to get something done, you've got to find 217 friends. And one of those needs to be the speaker. And then you've got to find 60 friends in the Senate. And then you have to have a president willing to sign it. And our founding fathers put together a really daunting system to get things done. And I think that's on purpose, because you don't want things get done, undone, done, and undone, so that you get a whipsaw effects going on with policies flipping back and forth at the whim of if it were too easy to get done. So I know that people are frustrated. The 18 Farm Bill, which is really terrific for the times in which we wrote it, but it does not fit the times we live in today. We had low commodity prices in 2018, but input costs were a lot more rational. Today we have low commodity prices, and the input costs are stunningly not rational against those prices that which our farmers are trying to trying to continue to feed us and provide the safest, most abundant, and least expensive food and fiber supply in the world. So I know that GT is frustrated, John Bozeman's frustrated, but I've got really high hopes that those two guys now leading the Senate and the House Ag Committees will get something done. I place some of the blame for lack of movement with now retired Senator Sabinow. She was really more interested in protecting SNAP and not allowing any changes to the SNAP program than she was getting a farm bill done. And I know that the rhetoric might be contrary to that, but the actions speak louder than words. It wasn't until super late in the system where she began to put out legislative language, those kind of things. Whereas GT, as you said, got a bill through a committee, but was unable to get floor time, unable to get the work done on the floor. But it still takes 60 votes in the Senate. So John Bozeman will have the same kind of struggle that Pat Roberts had in 18. I'm excited about Amy Klobuchar's work on as ranking member over there, that we can actually get things done. I think part of the help will be if they're able to get at the SNAP issue in the reconciliation bills, if they can take that off the table, which only takes 51 votes in the Senate, make those kind of changes that I know GT wants to make, some other changes I tried to get made in 2018, get those done in reconciliation, then that will free he and John up to address the non-SNAP portion of the bill, which is much less partisan. It's much more bipartisan, and to get something moving forward. The big issue, though, left, if they do get SNAP done, is there going to be new money for the non-SNAP portion of the farm bill? And that remains to be seen. Our nation is in a spending crisis. We're spending way too much money every single day. And so I would anticipate that it's going to be difficult for the budget for the farm bill, for the non-SNAP portions of the farm bill, which means they want to change something in one title. They've got to move money out of a different title, and that means taking money away from people who have been getting it and giving it to the folks that may need it more. Those kind of decisions are going to have to get made. But if they can get SNAP off the table through reconciliation, and then of getting a farm bill done, maybe not by this September, this calendar year, can get that done and reset the Title I programs, particularly impacts and higher impact input costs have had on the system, because things are just different than they were in 18, and the farm needs to be reflected.
So kind of the final one here, we talk about Congress. That's, you know, that's one leg of the stool, if you will. Yeah, you've got the House, you've got the Senate. I guess that's two legs. And then you have the administration. USDA, the nominee for Secretary of Agriculture from Texas, Brooke Rollins. What are your thoughts on USDA and the administration as we move forward?
I think Brooke's going to make a terrific Secretary of Ag. She's really smart and has led other, not quite as big, but other organizations through great growth and showed terrific leadership in those areas. I think she's a person who will know what she doesn't know and will work hard to learn the things that she needs to learn about the detail, the nitty gritty about ag policy and those kinds of things. But I've got high expectations and really high hopes that she'll do a terrific job as Secretary of Ag. I'm told that some of the folks they've already begun to put in place in the deputy slots and underneath are really good technicians and really folks with deep experience in the ag world, and they will provide her with wise counsel and advice. But I think she's demonstrated the ability to make good decisions moving forward. And you can't underestimate how important it is that President Trump trusts her. I suspect she's got his personal cell phone number, and that will stand USDA in good stead as they come against other agencies or other initiatives or other things that are trying to move that are maybe not in the best interest of production agriculture in America. I think she'll have a voice in the ultimate resolution of those differences between agencies that previous secretaries may not have had just because of her direct personal relationship with President Trump. So I've got really high hopes that and expectations that Brooke's going to do a great job as Secretary of Ag.
Always great to see you. Thanks for your time. You know, the door is always open. I hope you'll come back and see us soon.
Oh, absolutely. I'll try not to wear out my welcome, but I'd love to talk to you anytime, Tony. Thank you, buddy.
Again, it's the Honorable Mike Conaway. His legacy runs deep within the House of Representatives, former chairman of the House Ag Committee. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
CattleCon's headed to San Antonio, February 4th through 6th, 2025, where farmers and ranchers gather to shape our industry's future. Remember, if you ain't at the table, you might just be on the menu. Check out the latest in ranching at the Texas-sized NCBA trade show. Network, learn, and grow your operation. Don't miss this chance to steer the cattle biz in San Antonio, where the Alamo spirit lives on. Visit convention.ncba.org to get registered. CattleCon 2025, where the beef industry meets.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, former chairman of the House Ag Committee, Mike Conaway.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, former chairman, House Ag Committee, Mike Conaway.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
It's now over a month old. The second federal order involving milk testing for a strain of the H5N1 HPAI virus in dairy cattle. The update on the national milk testing strategy from Alex Turner of USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service includes 28 states enrolled since early January, consisting of nearly 65% of the nation's milk production.
States that are working through different ways to utilize the testing infrastructure that exists, as well as build some of the testing infrastructure if that does exist within their state, and kind of do the surveillance testing to give us a national idea of where this virus is, where it isn't, and kind of where we're at.
Currently, three tranches of states have been announced for the NMTS based on their level of testing. The strategy also involves five stages reflecting a state's testing activity and the presence of H5N1 in their state. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.